Chapter 16. The following morning, Richard woke up twice. The first time, he assumed he'd made a mistake and turned over for a fitful few minutes more. The second time, he sat up with a jolt, as the events of the previous night insisted themselves upon him. He went downstairs and had a moody and unsettled breakfast, during which nothing went right. He burnt the toast, spilt the coffee, and realized that though he'd meant to buy some more marmalade yesterday, he hadn't. He surveyed his feeble attempt at feeding himself and thought that maybe he could at least allow himself the time to take Susan out for an amazing meal tonight to make up for last night, if he could persuade her to come. There was a restaurant that Gordon had been enthusing about at great length and recommending that they try. Gordon was pretty good on restaurants. He certainly seemed to spend enough time in them. He sat and tapped his teeth with a pencil for a couple of minutes, and then went up to his workroom and lugged a telephone directory out from under a pile of computer magazines. L'Esprit d'Escalier. He phoned the restaurant and tried to book a table, but when he said when he wanted it for, this seemed to cause a little amusement. "Ah, non, monsieur," said the maitre d', "I regret that it is impossible. At this moment it is necessary to make reservations at least 3 weeks in advance. Pardon, monsieur." Richard marvelled at the idea that there were people who actually knew what they wanted to do 3 weeks in advance, thanked the maitre d' and rang off. Well, maybe a pizza again, instead. This thought connected back to the appointment he had failed to keep last night, and after a moment, curiosity overcame him, and he reached for the phone book again. Gentlemen, gentles, gentry. There was no gently at all, not a single one. He found the other directories, except for the Esther Z book, which his cleaning lady continually threw away for reasons he had never yet fathomed. There was certainly no Chelly or anything like it. There was no Gently with a J, no Gently with a DG, no Gently with a DJ, no Gently with a DZ, nor anything remotely similar. He wondered about TJ Entley, TS Entley, or TZ Entley, and tried directory inquiries, but they were out. He sat and tapped his teeth with the pencil again, and watched his sofa slowly revolving on the screen of his computer. How very peculiar it had been that it had only been hours earlier that Reg had asked after Dirk with such urgency. If you really wanted to find someone, how would you set about it, and what would you do? He tried phoning the police, but they were out too. Well, that was that. He had done all he could do for the moment short of hiring a private detective, and he had better ways of wasting his time and money. He would run into Dirk again, as he did every few years or so. He found it hard to believe that there were really such people, anyway, as private detectives. What sort of people were they? What did they look like? Where did they work? What sort of tie would you wear if you were a private detective? Presumably, it would have to be exactly the sort of tie that people wouldn't expect private detectives to wear. Imagine having to sort out a problem like that when you just got up. Just out of curiosity as much as anything else, and because the only alternative was settling down to anthem coding, he found himself leafing through the yellow pages. Private detectives. See detective agencies. The words looked almost odd in such a solid and business-like context. He flipped back through the book. Dry cleaners, dog breeders, dental technicians, detective agencies. At that moment the phone rang and he answered it, a little curtly. He didn't like being interrupted. "Something wrong, Richard?" "Oh, hi, Kate. Sorry, no, I was... my mind was elsewhere." Kate Anselm was another star programmer at WayForward Technologies. She was working on a long-term artificial intelligence project, the sort of thing that sounded like an absurd pipe dream until you heard her talking about it. Gordon needed to hear her talking about it quite regularly, partly because he was nervous about the money it was costing, and partly because, well, there was little doubt that Gordon liked to hear Kate talking anyway.